We're drawing a conclusion to our series, Big Questions, and we want to end with one final question, which is, what is your ministry? And we're going to be looking at Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And the question is, what is your ministry? And I'll go ahead and read that for us. The Apostle Paul writes this. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is God's word. First of all, as we are encouraged to see so many of you joining us both online and here in person at Trinity. We seem to be making our way slowly out of a very, very tough time with the pandemic and all that has been an upheaval in our lives. And I want to begin just by sharing that we have an extraordinary opportunity at this time to really not only rebuild our lives, but to rebuild our church. And that's the first kind of backdrop truth I wanted to encourage us by as we jump into this question at the early part of this year, at the end of the series. Big question is, what is your ministry? And I think many of you could identify several weeks ago when I shared just how discouraging and how challenging the pandemic has been, both to all of us personally and to our families, but especially some of the discouragement that we had as a church community, with so many of our dreams and visions wanting to move forward. And even as I was preparing my report for the annual meeting and writing that report and reflecting on where we were just a couple years ago and where we're at now, I was basically just poo-pooing just how tough it's been. And many of you were there with me. Yet at the same time, with all that has taken place in our lives these past couple of years, the pandemic has really given us an opportunity to hit the reset button in a way that we could have never manufactured or created or even dreamed of what has happened to us. Yes, it has been extremely tough. It has been very discouraging. And I think it's proper to acknowledge that. And I think it's okay to give permission to ourselves to be human and say, it really stunk. But with that, we have an opportunity to reimagine and to really rebuild our lives and our families and our church in an extraordinary way that has, in my lifetime, never happened before. And so as we acknowledge that together, that it has been really, really challenging and tough, we take a step back and we see the tremendous opportunities for ministry and for impact and for us to cling on to God in our lives when we realize how little we have control. And so we begin as we ask ourselves this question, what is your ministry? Looking at what the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus about 2,000 years ago, I want us to think about that. We have an extraordinary opportunity to rebuild our lives, but in particular, our church. And I think that is absolutely critical to acknowledge by faith that God can redeem anything, including these past 2 years that we have been through together. And so we begin there. Secondly, as we consider this, a second kind of backdrop truth before we jump in looking specifically at our passage is that as we desire to get back with God, get back in relationship with Jesus, as you do that, after a time of profound disconnection and challenge, and for a lot of us who are going through personal situations that are so difficult, I want to put this out there that a love for Christ, a love for the Lord, will always translate to a love for his body. Just in the same way as I heard a podcast message from Pastor Rick Warren, spouses, if you have a spouse or a family member or someone that you love, but in particular what he shared regarding a spouse, you cannot look at your spouse and say, honey, I really love you, but I hate your body. Don't even try that one at home. Just think about it and then think about that. I really love you, but I just hate your body. How is that going to fly for your marriage? You're laughing because you know you'd be dead meat. And we're reminded, as so many of us have this desire, while I do want to know God better in my life, I do want to work on my relationship to Jesus, I want to know some of the answers to life's big questions about what really happens to us in the time of uncertainty. How do we live our lives? What happens when we do die? How are we supposed to live? What is the meaning of life? How do I move forward after these past 2 years? And all of us have that desire. But as you engage that question of how do I get back in my relationship to God and begin to take another step closer, all of us are in process, all of us are on a journey, as you express that desire to grow in your relationship to Him and to Jesus, it will simultaneously cause you to ask the question, how do I also love His body? Because the church is the body of Christ. And for so many of us, we say, I do want to know God better. I do want to know more about the love of Jesus, but I can't stand the local church. They're a bunch of hypocrites. They didn't really reach out to me during these times, these past 2 years. Well, there are hypocrites everywhere. There are hypocrites working out in your health club, but you still go. There are hypocrites at your school, but you still go to classes. There are hypocrites in your workplace, but you still go to work. We are not a perfect people, but we are a forgiven people. We are a redeemed people. We know the grace of God in our lives. And so as you ask this very important question, how do I grow in God and how do I love Jesus and get to know more about Him in my life, in the life of my family, it will always correlate with also a love for His body, the church, in the same way you cannot say, I love you to a person but hate their physical body. It's one and the same. And I think often we forget that disconnection, whatever, with the local church, they're all messed up, and yes, In the evangelical landscape, we have had a lot of ministers and ministries and churches have profound problems that have wounded so many of us, I included. But we don't write off the body of Christ, His church. And so we often think we can divorce those things. I want to grow closer to God and love Jesus, but I really don't want to do it with the local church. I've been so hurt. We've all been hurt. We have been disappointed. Leaders will mess up. I will mess up. I hope not intentionally, but I will fall short. I will make mistakes. And so will many of our leaders here. But as you embrace that question, how do I pursue God in my life? You cannot do it apart. You cannot divorce His body, the church. And so that is very important, because for a lot of us, we say, well, it's just my life and maybe my family, but forget the church. You cannot do that. J. Oswald Sanders says, in order to accomplish His work on earth, Jesus had a body made of flesh and blood. The incarnation, right? In order to accomplish His work today, Jesus has a body that consists of living human beings. And so though, yes, we are flawed, yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we do get hurt by one another. Yes, there is often profound disappointment. And yet, you cannot grow in your knowledge and love of God and Christ apart from also growing in knowledge and love and ministry in the local church. And so, those two things we wanted to share as we jump in. Thirdly, we're reminded as we think about this glorious opportunity of ministry that all are called to participate in the engagement of ministry. Verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Saints are equipped not just for their own personal experience of God, but it is for the work of ministry, not just full-time ministers and missionaries and Christian leaders, but all of us are being called and invited to and challenged and exhorted by the Apostle Paul that God gives the gifts of leaders. Yes, why? To equip the saints, you all, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. That is God's call for each and every one of us. It is not an optional thing. It is a calling. It is a challenge. It is an exhortation. And as we begin to really reflect on this great challenge that we have set before us in the book of Ephesians, we take heed. David Pryor writes that any Christian who operates independently from others is reducing his or her own effectiveness and that of the body as a whole. And so this idea of coming together and engaging in the work of ministry for the building up of the body, the very body of Jesus Christ, His church. And as we do that, we always keep in mind that it is a person that we are serving, the person of Jesus, not a cause first, not an organization first, not a church first, but it is Jesus who is head of the church. And out of His profound love for you and I, we desire to serve Him, and we do it by serving actively in engagement in ministry for the building up of His body. Fourthly, As we look at our passage, verse 13, what is the goal? What happens? What is the dynamics that take place? Verse 13, ministry activates renewal. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ministry activates renewal in our lives. As important as spiritual disciplines are of prayer and Bible study, serving the body of Christ is critically important for one's overall health, growth, and renewal, your transformation. Spiritual renewal is not based just upon another Bible study or gaining deeper knowledge, and I love deeper knowledge. Trust me, more prayer alone. We love prayer, but it comes, this renewal, when we begin to understand the theology of community life and finding our role within His, Jesus's, body, and beginning to engage in service, in active ministry, and seeing the power of God energize us through the activation of His gifts and His Holy Spirit who dwells within us, and seeing our lives being most blessed and changed as we are involved in the ministry of loving and serving others. And as we do that, we inevitably are driven back to our head of the church, Jesus, to receive our instructions, our directions, our rebukes, our encouragements, as we embrace the means of grace through His word and prayer and the corporate gathering to worship and the sacraments, we begin to be renewed. It is as we learn to actively serve other people, though sometimes it is hard, it is then that we begin to come alive. Peter David says this, we'll put this up on the screen. This is tremendously encouraging and challenging at the same time. Christians can't control how God has gifted them, but can and do control if and how the gift is used. Spiritual gifts are not autonomous entities outside a person's control, but abilities that the Spirit gives and that a person must grow in and use, putting them into service. And so I had a chance to reflect on this past series, asking the big questions to my own heart. So encouraged and challenged by both the message that Evan gave on what is your calling, and then listening to Brian Wiley's message on what is your why. And definitely as we think about what is our calling in life, that it does begin with being and our relationship to Him as a child of God. It's not about vocation, location. See, I did listen to it. It is then asking yourselves, what is my why? What is my heartbeat? How has God created me? One pastor, even this past week, shared that his why is harnessing energy for the kingdom of God. I thought that was awesome. He lives to harness energy for the kingdom of God. That's awesome. And so you can know your calling. You can know your why, but it can't end there, because if you truly know it, what will happen is you will take that next and final step of, what is my ministry? How can I begin to serve? How can I get out of my own skin, out of my comfort zone, out of what happens is our apathy, our laziness, our self-centeredness. How do I deliberately get out of that in order to see the power of God's living spirit flowing through me? And once you get a taste of that, you can never, ever go back. And so as we return back to the vision of our church to pursue God and his passion for people, how we come out of this pandemic and all the challenge we've experienced, and in your own personal lives, often the stagnation, and yes, I will say our spiritual laziness, and I will say this, our selfishness and our self-centeredness and our love of comfort. We had 2 years to be able to be separate, to do our own thing, but now it's time to get back in the game. Fifthly, our vision will grow at the rate of our personal engagement. You will determine the pace of the recovery and the rebuilding of our church. Paul reminds us that from the whole body, verse 16, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I can preach until I'm blue in the face. We can have meeting after meeting. We can do all these things. But how our church will be rebuilt, stronger, healthier, missionally aligned, really make an impact in our surrounding community and beyond. How will that happen as you all and myself begin to once again personally engage as we're guided by this question, how can I serve? And what is my ministry? What has God honed in my life, in my history, in my passions, in my education, in my circumstances? Yes, though I am hurting, we're reminded that your hurt and pains God redeems to become your greatest superpower for the kingdom of God. That is your true power. Our vision will grow simultaneously at the rate of our personal engagement as we get back in the game of building the kingdom of God through the body of Jesus Christ, his church. And so for those, and I won't define the parameters of older generation, if you think you are one of the older generation, then good for you. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifices, both now and in the years gone by. But please don't check out into retirement quite yet. We need your wisdom. We need your pearls of encouragement and insight. We need your mentoring. We need your encouragement, how to raise kids, how to raise grandkids, how to make it through when we lose loved ones, how to hang in there through the disappointments of life. You have been through so much. We need that discipleship and encouragement from you that we can make it by the grace of God. Don't check out if you are of the older generation. My father is heading toward his mid-80s. Every time I go home, every time I talk with him, talks about mission, talks about how he's growing in his faith, how he is serving his church, encouraging his pastor, can't wait to go back down to different countries in Latin America to do medical missions. Even in his mid-80s, he has a passion to serve Christ and the local church and mission. And that puts me to shame, as often when I go home, I just want to veg out in front of the screen. We need you, our older generation. For our younger generation, however you want to define that, if we're very honest with ourselves, we have ridden on the coattails of our elder generation. And it is time to take the mantle of responsibility and leadership to move the vision of our lives and church forward. This is your church. This is your generation. Let us embrace that responsibility to serve, to sacrifice, to give as we think about the generation that is right behind us. And for those that are newer to the Trinity community and family who are still maybe wondering if this community is for me, we need your outside fresh perspective. We need your new ideas. We need your energy as we seek to rebuild our church for the kingdom of God. Every church, when it doesn't have an inflow of newer generation, newer people, we become ingrown. We have blinders on. We have blind spots. We're so comfortable we don't reach out and make new friends and reach new people in our communities. And we need you who are newer to show us the way, to shake us up, and to contribute your wonderful, beautiful gifts and story to the corporate collective story of Trinity Covenant Church. As we have looked at before, this challenging quote by Pastor Rick Warren that so many of us always are looking with a mentality of serve us, serve me, not service. I'm looking for a church that meets my needs and blesses me, not I'm looking for a place to serve and be a blessing. But as we mature in Christ, he says, the focus of our lives should increasingly shift to living a life of service. The mature follower of Jesus stops asking, who's going to meet my needs? And starts asking, whose needs can I meet? That shift has to happen with intentionality, as we've all been under the warm blanket of isolation and comfort and separation during this pandemic. And so, what is your hope this year? What is your treasure in this new year? What is your calling in this new year? What are your excuses in this new year? What is your power of your life in this new year? What is your why? And finally, what is your ministry? Philosopher William James, and I'll end with this, says this, the best use of one's life is to spend it for something that will outlast it. Life's value is not in its duration, but in its donation. Not how long we live, but how fully and how well is what counts. And there will never be a regret when you invest your life, your energies, your talents, your treasure for building up the kingdom of God, especially through his body, the local church. Let us pray. I think the question of what is your ministry is so important as we launch out of the pandemic. We love that you attend. We love that you're watching from home online. But my challenge and encouragement, as we have heard from the Apostle Paul from God's Word, is we invite you back into engagement. Get back into the race. Get back into the game. See the power of the living Jesus begin to flow as you make yourself available to build and serve his beautiful body, the body of Christ, the local church. And as we who are flawed and hurting and wounded and broken and tired begin to feel and sense his blood, his energy begin to flow and unite us in a unity under his head, under his lordship. May we look forward to the magnificent things that he will do far beyond our own individual lives or just you and your spouse and your kids. May we test God in that way in this new year as we get back into the game to serve and sacrificial and passionate ministry for the kingdom of God and his church.